the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder.
Happy New Year again.
We could still say that.
Again. Yeah, I think all of January you can. And you know what? I haven't yet written 2014 on my checks. I usually do that.
Oh.
I usually do that.
At the beginning of the year, I'm always so careful. 2015.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, I'm 2014, 2014.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it's going to happen in February. I know it's going to happen in February. But so far, I've been very deliberate. Of course, I do a lot of my banking, though, online. The bank saves me a stamp. So maybe that's why.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about pro-life activities all around the country here recently. And so our guest today is really kind of at the forefront of a lot of different things pro-life-wise.
And we're running at a perfect week. I mean, this week is the anniversary, January 22nd, Roe v. Wade. Gosh, what a year. I'm trying not to get emotional, but what a time in our country's history. What a terrible, terrible anniversary to have, January 22nd.
You know, that was one of those things like the HHS mandate where all insurers must supply birth control and that sort of thing that people heard about and thought, well, it'll never pass. You know, yeah, they're talking about it in Washington, but big deal, it'll never happen. Same thing with abortion. You know, when people saying, well, they're thinking about making it legal, and everybody, yeah, right.
Do you remember when it was being chatted about? Did you think that it wouldn't pass?
Oh, no.
Really?
No. You know, just, no, you can't kill babies. You can't do that. How could they do it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think I was seventh or eighth grade or something like that. And I remember we were asked to write papers, either pro or con, because it was a huge topic. Mm-hmm. And I was in a Catholic grade school. And I took, a good friend of mine took pro and I took con. But there was so much information and so much research. And I remember as we wrote it, as my mother helped me write it, do the research, I remember thinking, this will never pass. It'll never pass.
Yeah,
but I didn't know that much about it. My mother was adamant, you know, about it. And I just remember thinking, never will. And here we are
40 years, too
many years later. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Monica Kelsey. She is kind of like the forefront of this. She actually came to us through Tim O'Donnell. He was on one of our radiothons last year, and he said, you need to have Monica Kelsey. She was 40 Days for Life cheerleader. She was fabulous, a great talker. And so here she is today. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And I got you on Facebook, and I thought, I Googled Monica Kelsey, and oh my goodness, it was like, whoa, this is going to be exciting. So Monica, tell us, because you had quite a drive today to get here, but you're no stranger to traveling.
No.
So tell us a little bit about you, where you hail from, your family, what you do between 9 and 5 if you're not visiting Catholic Radio.
Well, I live up by Fort Wayne in a little town called Woodburn, and I'm married to the love of my life, been married for 16 years. We have three children, two that are grown, and our youngest is 15. She's still in the house.
And, oh, my goodness.
And, I help him with his business. My husband owns his own business, and I help with that when I'm not traveling. I travel so much out of the year, and I've been outside of the country.
Oh dear!
It's amazing the opportunity that God has placed in front of me.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that a little bit, because and listeners, if you Google Monica Kelsey, K-E-L-S-E-Y, or like you on Facebook, I don't know if you accept every friendship that approaches you on Facebook or not. Are you selective or do you?
No, well, you can like my page.
Okay.
It's just Monica Kelsey, pro-life speaker. You can like the page.
Oh, okay.
And then just follow everything that I do.
Okay, there you go. All right. Because I don't know if I friended you or liked you, but I saw so much. You really do get around. But you have an interesting story. And I think that's why I wanted to have you on this week, because you really touch a part of this abortion issue that isn't talked about much, or kind of pushed under the rug, if you will. But because actually you are the product of a vicious rape. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But with that in mind, listeners, just knowing that, tell us a little bit of Monica, because you were adopted. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your story. So when you're growing up, what we were imagining, tell us about your birth family and what you were kind of imagining about your bio family.
Well, you know, I always knew that I was adopted. My adoptive parents never made that a secret. And they adopted another child. So there was two adopted in the home, and then they had one biological child, and we were all girls. My dad had actually prayed for a boy, and he got stuck with three girls. So,
oh, dear.
So in a nine-room house, you know, one bathroom, three girls, and a wife. So it was pretty interesting at our house growing up. But, you know, it was just a normal life. I would always imagine, though, meeting my biological mother, because I just knew that she was going to be absolutely beautiful and stunning. And I was always told that she was just too young to care for me, so she placed me up for adoption.
Nothing more than that.
No, and that's what my parents were told when they adopted me. And when they went to the courts to sign the papers for the final adoption, nobody showed up. So my mom never got and I call my mom, my adoptive mom is my mom.
Okay, sure.
So when I refer to my mom, that's who I'm talking about. And my mom said that she never got the opportunity to see my biological mother or hear anything. So I was just told that she was just too young. So that's what I believed growing up.
Sure.
So in all reality, I had this fairy tale family, you know, waiting for me when I turned 18, because this woman, I knew she loved me.
Sure.
You know, I just knew it because she placed me with adoptive parents, and my adoptive parents always said that she had to have loved me so much to give me the gift of life. So, you know, growing up.
How wonderful that they enforced that. How wonderful that you had those wonderful thoughts. Because that kind of couches everything, all the anticipation and all the ideas and all the imagination. And it's already positive, positive, positive.
Right, right. So I was excited to finally meet her. But I knew it was going to be on God's terms. You know, I knew it wasn't going to be on my time. Nothing's ever on our time.
Sure.
Otherwise, it would happen so much faster.
Sure. When was it easy? Was the connection easy? Were you able to go through a pretty simple process to find her?
Actually, she had abandoned me 2 hours after I was born, so it was a little tougher to find her. And the adoption papers were never signed. She had never signed the actual adoption papers. So I had to really trace back. I went back to the town where I was born. I pulled the newspaper articles, you know, from 3 days before I was born, 3 days after I was born, trying to find anything, you know, because I thought, well, maybe they mistakenly put her name in the newspaper for giving birth. Because, you know, back then it was baby girl was born to so-and-so,
right.
You know?
Right.
You know, I didn't have any luck there. So then I wrote a letter to the editor in the town where I was born. I actually didn't even find out that I was abandoned until I opened the records, which was when I was 37. So.
Oh, so you're 18, long gone. I mean, okay. Oh, my
goodness. I joined the military right out of high school. I spent 8 years in the United States military defending my country. And so I kind of, I put that on the back burner because it was time for my life, you know.
Sure.
And I knew that when I was ready, I would reopen that book. And then when I was 37, it was time, and I found her.
Okay, so you found your mother. And when did you hear the story? And listeners, if you're just now tuning in, our guest today, Monica Kelsey. She has an unusual life story. She was adopted at birth, but she is the product of a brutal rape. And she talks about that. You've traveled all over telling your story. Yes. And you're here today on Catholic Radio to tell us the story. So you track your mother down, mm-hmm. have the information, and was she willing?
Well, I didn't have the information until after I met her. My husband and I, the morning I found her, we were in a car like an hour later heading to Michigan to meet her.
Oh, my. Oh, so
and
it was like.
I was like not wasting any time. I had to see this woman.
Right.
You know, it was like I had just envisioned her my whole life, and finally she was going to be in front of me. And so my husband and I drove up to Michigan, and we spent 3 hours getting to know her. and she was absolutely beautiful. You know, she was 4'11".
Yeah, she's a teeny.
She's
I saw the
little
teeny.
Little thing, and, yeah. and 4'11", blonde hair, blue eyes. I mean, she
beautiful.
She was absolutely stunning.
And you and looked at her and you thought, did right
where
away?
Where in the world did I get my looks from? Is what I was thinking. You know, black hair, dark complected, and but you know, as I was sitting in her living room, holding my husband's hand, that's when I decided that the question I needed to ask was something that I had thought of my whole life was, you know, who was my biological father?
Oh.
And
Before this, you had no idea. Nothing,
no,
nothing.
I had no idea.
You know, we have to take a break here very shortly, and that would be a great place to take a break and finish the story here.
Oh, Jim.
In just a moment.
Jim, yeah, that's awful. How are you doing that to our listeners? Why are you doing that to me? Okay, we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Here at Catholic Radio Indy, we guarantee you will be getting 100% Catholic programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Evangelization, catechesis, apologetics, and so much more, all in keeping with the teaching of the Catholic Church. On the air at 89.1 and 90.9 FM, online at catholicradioindy.org, and on the go with a free app for your smartphone or mobile device, Catholic Radio Indy, 100% Catholic programming 24/7.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today...
In television, that's known as a cliffhanger.
That was awful. That was awful. If you had seen us in the studio, I'm like leaning over like, what? Why are you on the brink of meeting her mother, hearing the story about the bio father? Our guest today, Monica Kelsey. This is a great story. I know we're not going to get to everything I want to get to, but finish the story. So you've met your mom. She's absolutely beautiful, holding your husband's hand. And
I was sitting on the couch. She was sitting in a recliner chair, and I said, you know, I have to ask you this. You know, who is my biological father? And she got up and she walked out of the room, and I just kind of looked at my husband like, is she coming back?
Right.
You know, because I was like, did I upset her? And she went back to her bedroom and she pulled out this folder, and it was tattered, it was torn, it was old, and the paper was very thin. That she opened up this folder, and the paper was so thin you could tell that it was very, very old, and it was all written in pencil. And then she starts to tell me that she pulls out a police report from 1972, August 25th. Most people don't even know the day that they were conceived.
Wow.
I was conceived August 25th of 1972, and she was 17 years old. She was brutally attacked and raped and left along the side of the road to die. And,
oh.
You know, if that wasn't bad enough, 6 weeks later, she finds out she's pregnant. And, of course, this is a time in our country when any unmarried woman pregnant was going to be shamed.
Sure.
So my biological grandmother actually paid and took my birth mother to a back alley abortion clinic in October of 1972.
Because it wasn't until the next year, 1973,
that it was legal.
That it was legal.
Yeah. So even though the law was there for me, you know, there were still illegal abortions going on in our country.
Sure.
But my birth mother had changed her mind. She was standing in front of the man that was going to take my life, and she changed her mind. And her mother was very angry with her.
Oh, sure.
She had paid $75. That's what my life was worth in 1972, was $75. And my biological mother and her didn't get along too well. But she had to pay back the $75 because she wouldn't go through with the procedure. So her mother hid her from the outside world. She wouldn't let her leave the house. Most of the girls were going to their aunt's house, you know, a
sure.
maternity home. But she kept her at home, and she gave birth to me April 19th of 73 and took me to a hospital and left me there 2 hours after I was born.
Wow.
So, but, you know, without even knowing it, she gave me the greatest gift that I've ever received. And on top of giving me my life, she gave me an amazing family. And adoption just unleashes the possibility that these kids have. I look at my life now and I think how blessed I am that this one gift from a selfless woman, scared, alone, did for the love of her child.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because there was quite a... Well, okay. When I was growing up, and I grew up in the 60s and 70s, I remember this whole debate about rape and conception and abortion and adoption. And I remember my mother telling me, well, your body has a safety mechanism. And if you were ever raped, because I said, what would you do if I were raped? You know, and she said, well, we would give the baby up for adoption. Of course, honey, but you won't, that won't ever happen to you. And this was common knowledge. This was like accepted thinking that you couldn't get pregnant during a rape. And you'll hear many borderline pro-lifers say, pro-lifers who will say, I agree with, you know, I'm all with you on the life issue, except, you know, an abortion issue, except in the cases and instances of rape. Because, I mean, that would be just too much to ask you to carry that, you know, child. So how do you address that? Because this actually kind of blew up a few years ago when, what's his
name?
Todd Akin came out and said, well, of course, you know, I mean, that doesn't happen. You know, and you're here today, Monica.
Right.
You're here today.
Right.
So you have to have been presented. You have to have some, you know, idea on this. I mean, what do you say to people who say, other than standing there 98.6, you know,
right.
I'm breathing.
Right. You know, one of the things that we have to remember is a woman's body is a machine built by God. You know, it's intricately designed. And for 48 hours or 72 hours, we are able to conceive in those times. When a woman is raped and she is within that 72 hours, her body doesn't shut down and say, whoa, 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 whoa. She is already in that phase of being able to conceive a child. It's not going to shut down and just stop the process. It's already started the process, and it you know, 72 hours. And that's the amazing thing about a woman's body, you know, is it works to give life to a child. And one of the things that I'm presented with a lot is, you're right, pro-lifers are the ones that are making the rape exception. You know, 60% of pro-lifers say, I'm pro-life except in the cases of rape or incest. And I used to be one of those people until I had to rethink and educate myself on what it truly meant to be pro-life. And, you know, the Bible states that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in God's image, and we were knit in our mother's womb. Was he just talking about you, MJ, or was he talking about me too?
Well, okay, so I've got a couple of things to say to that, because when you met your mother, you're 37 years old.
Right.
Okay? And fast forward, she's no longer with us, which
is you
only knew her for a short period of time. But when you were 37 years old, you already had pretty concrete ideas about life, adoption, abortion, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you finding out about this rape was kind of late to the game information for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So how did this change what you thought? Or were you already pretty much pro-life because of you being adopted? Or did this change? After talking to your mom, did this change anything?
It changed a lot.
Okay.
It changed a lot. I was brought up in a very Christian home, a very pro-life home. My mom and dad actually worked for the Right to Life group when I was growing up. So I was always brought up to be pro-life, but I always would think in the back of my mind, what if a woman was raped? Why would we force this woman to carry the rapist child? You know, and I didn't think about it a whole lot, because most pro-lifers don't think about that part.
Sure. Well, because that's not pretty. I mean, we see these beautiful babies, on all the posters, these cute little babies. But I mean, rape, that's ugly. I mean,
but pro-lifers, let's give credit where credit is due. Pro-lifers have their heart in the right place. They're thinking about the woman. You know, they want to help the woman. They want to be there for this woman. But what they're forgetting is that there's an innocent child's life that's hanging in the balance. And if we are truly pro-life, and we are made in God's image, and fearfully and wonderfully made, and knit in our mother's wounds, and we believe in Christ, and that he saved us all, he wasn't just talking about the perfect. He wasn't just talking about the people who were conceived with wine and roses. He was talking about the children that he made for his purpose, for his glory. And I am here simply because of that. I'm not here to just, you know, be a firefighter and a medic. I love being a firefighter and a medic, which is what I do, you know, part-time in Fort Wayne. But he brought me here so I could put a face to this issue. You know, when people look at me, they don't see a child conceived through rape. You know, they see Monica Kelsey that has a story.
Okay, so Monica, and if you are just now tuning in, we're talking with Monica Kelsey, who is the product of rape. You met your mother.
Yes.
Now, you asked about your father.
Yes.
Did you ever put a face to your father? Did you track him down? Yes. What happened? What was the deal? Is he alive? Did you meet him? I mean, tell us about that.
When I talk publicly, I don't really talk about him too much because this isn't about him.
Right.
It's about your mother.
Bravo story about your mother, the hero of this.
Everywhere I go, people want to know about him.
Sure.
And so I'm an open book. You know, people can hear my story. And when my biological mother first told me, I didn't believe her. I got into we had this Jeep at the time. We get out in the Jeep after meeting her, my husband and I, and he's looking at me and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Of course I'm okay." And he's like, "Did you just not hear her?" And I looked at him and I said, "Do you believe her?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And it took me about 6 months to really come to the realization that this was my life, because this stunk. I did not want this to be my life.
Sure.
You know, I had this vision and this was not in it.
Right. Sure.
And I actually contacted my biological father to prove my biological mother's story
wrong. Of course.
Okay. And so I have spoken with my biological father. I've asked him for a DNA test, and you know, he was very forthcoming. You know, a lot of mistakes were made in 1972. He admits that, but he's still a very broken man. And I hope that he has asked God for forgiveness, because we all fall short of the glory of God sometimes. But yes, I have. And I look just like his family.
He has a
daughter that I look just like. I've spoken with her. And my son looks like my biological brother.
Do you have any contact with that family?
Not anymore, I don't. And I never really wanted to have the contact with the family. I just wanted to prove my birth mother's story wrong.
Sure.
And actually, I proved it wasn't false. Everything that she told me was true.
Right. And you kind of have a sweet, bittersweet ending to that story, because you met your mom after 37 years and fell in love.
Yeah, I
imagine with this beautiful little woman.
And then
you went through a tragic time. But I love the video where, and I'm not going to give it away, I'll let you say it. I love the video where you say she was
with me when I took my first breath, and I was holding her hand, sitting at her feet when she took her last. And you know, I say when I speak, you know, she passed away at the age of 57, so young, from a urinary tract infection that went septic. And for 7 days, she was on a ventilator fighting for her life. And for 7 days, I was sitting beside her praying that God would give me more time with her. And you know, I wasn't going to leave her side. You know, she gave me such a gift. This was the least that I could do. And one of the things that I always, always touch on is, it doesn't matter what happened in between. She valued my life enough to give me my life, and I valued her life enough to be there when she passed.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We just have a couple minutes left, but I really would like for you to talk for a moment about the initiative, which we didn't even get to. You started, but just throw it out there. Tell us a little tidbit. The group that you started.
I started an organization called Living Exceptions.
Yes.
And people who are true living exceptions are parts of our group. We have a girl that was conceived in incest. Her biological father is also her grandfather, and her biological mother is also her sister. You might have to play that again for you.
Yeah, I was going to say,
audience.
Rewind that, yeah.
But we have some Down syndrome, because they're truly living exceptions as well, because society makes exceptions for their lives as well. And our organization is touring the country. Pam Stenzel is also a part of our organization. She's a huge abstinence speaker. But we're touring the country teaching people what it really means to be 100% pro-life and never settling for less.
I love that. Living Exceptions. Can we Google that? Can we look that up?
LivingExceptions.com.
And you are a living exception.
Yes.
Monica
yes.
Kelsey, our guest today on Faith in Action. Monica, if there's one little tidbit that you'd like to give our listeners that they can take away from this, I know you've traveled around the country a lot. You've done a lot for the pro-life organization, and this is a huge anniversary and a pox, really, that will go down in history as one of the most devastating dates, January 22nd. But what would you like to toss out to our listeners as something they can take away from this? Maybe something hopeful.
You know, the pro-life movement is winning. we're moving right along. And, you know, slavery didn't stop right away. It took years to do that. And after 41 years of this tragedy happening in our country, we are finally seeing abortion facilities closing, 75 in 2014. You know, people are getting it. When we step on a stage, people aren't making exceptions for our lives anymore because they get it. You know, if you're going to be pro-life, it's about the child and the mother, not just the mother. We have to protect the child and the mother. And people need to understand that this has to stop. 42 years or 41 years, it'll be 42 in a couple weeks, is way too long.
Well said. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Monica Kelsey, God bless you for being our guest.
Thank you so
much
for having me.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marion University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. Peace be with you.